We all do make promises, covenant. Perhaps you made the membership covenant when you joined this church. You're going to see some pictures behind me of people making covenants, the kind of covenants that are pretty typical in life. And we take them very seriously. And so today, as we begin the new year, you're going to hear Reverend John talk about what is traditionally called the Wesley Covenant. And so I have, as we do before the baptism covenant, some words of invitation to you. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Christian life is redeemed from sin and consecrated to God. Through baptism, we have entered this life and have been admitted to the new covenant, of which Jesus Christ is the mediator. He sealed it with his own blood, that it might last forever. On the one side, God promises to give us new life in Christ, the source and perfecter of our faith. On the other side, we pledge to live no more for ourselves, but only for Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Today we meet as the generations before us have met, to renew the covenant that binds us to God. And we ask today that we make this covenant of God our own. And so I invite you to join me in the words from the book of Psalms, the Psalter, printed in your bulletin. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn back to people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Teach us to number our days, that we might gain a heart of wisdom.
As we move into a time of prayer, I invite you to look at the, in the middle of our worship folder or bulletin, there's a section called Prayers for Our Church Family and Prayers for Our Church Family and Friends. These are names of people who are in need of our prayers, and I invite you to take this bulletin home and let this be part of your prayer practice during the week. In addition, each week we offer prayer quilts. These are made by a quilting group, a prayers and queers quilting group at our church. And the quilts are given to people who are in need. The quilts will be taken out at the end of the worship service and put on a table at the entrance to the sanctuary. And you'll be invited to tie a knot in prayer. So prayerfully tie a knot, you can sign the card. And these quilts will be given to the people, reminding them that this congregation has enfolded them in the warmth of prayer. I invite you now to join me in prayer. Lord, we've just through the psalm asked that we might have an understanding and number our days and call on your wisdom. And so at this turning point in the calendar, we do number our days. We look back over 2015, give thanks for the blessings, and thanks for the challenges that have strengthened us. We look forward into 2016 and relying on you, Lord. We hope for the best. We look toward your joy and your promise of abundance. And we ask that you might walk with us. Oh, some of us, Lord, you know the resolutions we've made. Something to do with our relationships or with the care of our bodies. You know what we've said we'll do to improve circumstances in our lives, to improve our minds, our souls. And so we ask, Lord, where these things fit within your will, that you will support us and strengthen us for those times of resolve. But in this moment, Lord, in this worship time, we want to concentrate on our resolve toward you. We've celebrated that you have kissed the earth in a child, that you have come to us and is a human being to understand us, to walk with us in Christ, and we resolve to be thankful. Lord, we resolve to seek your wisdom and your peace. We resolve to seek your will. and we understand that to do that, it's not going to be done well or fully on our own. But by your grace and your strength, by your companionship, it can be. So open us in this new year to your light. Open us to the covenant that will lighten our step, give us purpose, and move us forward. Open us, Lord, to your grace. Lord, there are many things to pray for. Some issues, some events, some things just seem too big. We look out in this world and we see hatred and jealousy, greed and resentment. We see that there is a lot to fear and a lot to be angry about. We see that people suffer with lack of education and health care, lack of food and water and shelter. And we ask that your power be all around that, that you be moving this earth toward being what you've created it to be. And Lord, as we look a little closer to home, we think of our friends and family who are in need of your watchful presence, suffering illness in mind, body, soul, needing direction, needing encouragement. And so now, Lord, in silence, we lift their names to you. And now trusting that your grace is present, not only for those we care for, but even for us in our struggles. We pray the prayer that your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The first of two passages is from Jeremiah. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And from 1 Peter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your help fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. The word of God for the people of God.
I hear those passages of Scripture and I just want to think for a bit and to take them in, take them deep within. Earlier on the screen, you saw a series of slides of covenants that we make. Someone joining the Boy Scouts, as many of us did. Someone holding up the right hand and taking the oath of allegiance to the United States as they become citizens of this great land. Young men joining military services. A couple. It didn't look like an anonymous couple to me, but a couple. Taking the marriage vows, and then those beautiful passages from Jeremiah. I will be your God, you will be my people. And from Peter, be holy, for I am holy. We know about covenants, having made a few of them ourselves. Some of these covenants can be renewed once in a while, and perhaps you have been part of such of a renewal. Today is one of those renewal moments for us. And John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, started it all in 1755. Anno Domini, Nostri Aeso Christi 2016, that is the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2016. And my name is John Gustav Park, and I am blessed to be an active person in this congregation and to be part of what I call Pastor Sherry's church. I retired a little more than 4 years ago, and these last 6 months have been, without competition, the best and the most fun. And I thank you all for that. Today I want to tell you two stories. They are each old Methodist traditions for this first Sunday of a new year. They are traditions by which you and I can mark the year and mark our lives as children of God through Jesus Christ. Think of these two traditions, if you will, as being somewhat like a tattoo, that is metaphorically speaking. But first, an announcement. Last evening, a brief and unmemorable memorial service with only one person present was held at our home for the Tom Clancy book-length sermon that I was writing for this morning. After a week of agonizing and suffering, it mercifully died a well-deserved death, and it will be missed by no one. As a courtesy, the women of this great church offer no luncheon. And in lieu of flowers, donations can be made to the First United Methodist Church. And the preacher thanks you for his great sorrow in this loss. For those of us who are here, we're going to scatter some ashes of what remains of that recently deceased. A new year with three traditions. At Brighton First Church, we start each sermon with a prayer, so please join in your own way, as I might have prayed the thoughts of another. Charles Wesley, the hymn-writing brother of John, wrote this poem for the Methodist Covenant Renewal Service of 1762, And then later it became a hymn. Perhaps you're familiar with it. Come, let us use the grace divine, and all with one accord in a perpetual covenant join ourselves to Christ the Lord. Give up ourselves through Jesus' power, his name to glorify, and promise in this sacred hour for God to live and die. The covenant we this moment make be ever kept in mind. We will no more our God forsake or cast these words behind. We will never throw off the fear of God who hears our vow. If thou art well pleased to hear, come down and meet us now. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, let all our hearts receive. Present with thy celestial host, the peaceful answer give. To each covenant, the blood apply which takes our sins away and register our names on high and keep us to that day. The first of today's two traditions is the longer of the two stories. The cremation process has shortened it considerably, however. In many Methodist churches, the first Sunday in January always brings us the visit of the wise men from the far eastern country, the ones who'd followed yonder star in the sky until it stood over the stable of Bethlehem where the baby Jesus lay. We are now post-Christmas, and we're moving through the 12 days of Christmas. Christmas was, of course, a partridge in a pear tree, the gift of Jesus, the perfect gift, as Pastor Sherry said. And today is the ninth day of Christmas, the day of the nine ladies dancing. Wednesday, with 12 drummers drumming, comes the Epiphany, the coming of light, Jesus, and we become the three kings of Orient. Epiphany is the coming of light into the world. And I believe we could say that same thing of every morning, each morning. Soon, my beloved, that is, as soon as the 11 o'clock service is over and I get home, I believe she's in the car already warming it up. We will leave for vacation in Florida. We'll stay at my cousin's condo, and there I treasure every morning. On many of them, up early, I stand with a coffee cup in hand on the beach. I hear the gulls overhead and roundabout mewling as they search for food, while I closely watch the eastern horizon to watch, to see, to marvel at the sun rising out of the Atlantic Ocean again. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. In that holy moment, the first light, the new light of every new day, is grace. But I digress. The Magi came to see the promise of God fulfilled in Christ, the baby in the stable, along with Mary and Joseph. And this is the first recorded manifestation of God's light to the Gentiles. The Gentiles include people like you and me and each of us. Epiphany is, if you will, the opening of a giant door. A door of the kingdom, a door of light, a door of God's grace. Grace for all of the world, not just the chosen. The few details of Matthew are all that we know about that sometime back in the first century when the visitors brought gifts to the baby Jesus and they knelt. But we're talking about covenant today, covenant like Jeremiah said, I will be your God, you will be my people. Covenant like, be holy for I am holy. All of these open now to all people. Parts is parts. the commercial used to say, and facts are facts, but tradition is another thing. Such it is that we think through tradition that we know more of the details than Matthew recorded. And we know for a fact that there were three wise men and there were three gifts. And later on, about the 9th century, we remember the names of the three wise men. Ah, tradition. Caspar, Melchior, Balthazar, coming with their gifts for the Christ who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven. The Apostle Paul said that Christ is the image of the invisible God. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Epiphany, the wise men, is a very old tradition. A newer part of that tradition, one that comes to us from the Middle Ages, from Britain through Eastern Europe, Christians marked their homes each year on Epiphany to tell again the story of the wise men, to tell again the story of the coming of light, to tell again the story of God's opening that door to all people. And they saw marking their homes as a form of a prayer for blessing from God, believing that God hears and answers our every need. If you translate what they did into our language, it would be to take something, say a piece of chalk, and over the doorway or on the walk or in the driveway, write the numbers 20, and then a plus, and a C, and a plus, and an M, and a plus, a B, and a plus, and 16. 20, C, M, B, 16. 2016, and spaced between three initials, C, M, and B. In some places, those initials stood for the wise men, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. But I've also learned, and I lean closer to a tradition from those parts, just as old, where the C, M, and B stand for the Latin phrase Christus Mansionem Benedicat. Christ bless this home in 2016. And I mark my home, and I suggest to you that you take it home and you try it, to mark your house on the door, on the walk, in the drive, to mark your house as being a place of God's. Christ blessed my home means that I count on being blessed every day in 2016 in every way, and already it has started. This morning, the second tradition that you can take home, a second way to mark your life for Christ, is a uniquely Methodist tradition started by John Wesley in 1755. Old John, as he was called by nobody, had been impressed by a Puritan book from 1663, a century before. And in 1753, he published it again as part of his Christian Library. That's a story for another day. Chapter 1 of the book became the basis for the first covenant service in the Methodist movement. It was held August 11, 1755, in the French church at Spitalfields, which is a part of East London today. There were 1,800 people present. And Wesley found that service so rich and so meaningful, he decided to do it again. The following year, after the covenant service, he wrote in his journal, "Many mourned before God and many were comforted." A few years later, he wrote about a covenant service. "It was, as usual, a time of remarkable blessing. On and on. 1775 is mentioned on the front of your bulletin. Please do read it. In 1780, he wrote in his journal, "We had the largest congregation at the renewal of our covenant with God which ever met upon this occasion, and we were thoroughly convinced that God was not departed from us. He never will unless we depart from him." Now, the dates and the quotes you won't remember, but the point is, for every year, once he began it in 1755 until his death in 1790, in every year, Wesley celebrated this covenant renewal service with every congregation in the Methodist movement that he visited. Covenant making is at the heart of Christian devotion in a sense that you and I are not our own anymore, but through God's claim upon us through Christ in baptism, we have become God's servants. And from time to time, you and I, Christians everywhere, need to make a solemn renewal as a reminder of that covenant, lest we hold back without realizing it, bit by bit, piece by piece, sections of what we have given once so freely to God, now hoarding them again unto ourselves. Today I invite the spiritual people of God to make a distinction and to mark your lives again by the prayer and the covenant that we will take together. Now pray with me. Another year is dawning, dear Master, let it be in working or in waiting another year with thee. Another year of leaning upon thy loving breast, of ever deepening trustfulness, of quiet, happy rest. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace. Another year of gladness in the shining of thy face. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving the presence, thy presence, all our days. Amen. Mark your lives as disciples of Jesus Christ today.
As many before us have had this opportunity, we take this opportunity today as well. And so before we recite Wesley's covenant prayer, some things for you to keep in mind. Commit yourselves to Christ as his servants. Give yourselves to him that you may belong to him. Christ has many things to be done. Some are more easy and honorable, and some are more difficult and disgraceful. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests, others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. But then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. It is necessary, therefore, that we consider what it means to be a servant of Christ. Let us therefore go to Christ and offer this prayer to him. Will you join me in this covenant prayer? I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. In order to make this covenant more real in your life, I would ask you to hear these four charges. First, set apart some time more than once, to be spent alone before the Lord in seeking earnestly God's special assistance and gracious acceptance of you, in carefully thinking through all the conditions of the covenant, in searching your hearts whether you have freely given your life to Christ. Consider what your sins are. Consider the laws of Christ, how holy, strict, and spiritual they are, and whether you, after having carefully considered them, are willing to choose them all. Be sure you are clear in these matters. See that you do not lie to God. Secondly, be serious, and in a spirit of holy awe and reverence. Thirdly, claim God's covenant. Rely upon God's promise of giving grace and strength so you can keep your promise. Trust not to your own strength and power. And fourth, resolve to be faithful. You have given to the Lord your heart, you have opened your mouths to the Lord, and you have dedicated yourself to God. With God's power, never go back. On the front of today's bulletin, as Reverend John pointed out, you will see some of the more technical details with dates of this covenant service, but also you will find a place where you can sign. Most often when one makes a covenant, marriage license, citizenship papers, the military, one signs their name. Signing that indeed commits you in a way that no other thing can. And so I would ask that at some point, either during this service or when you go home, take time, as you are charged in quiet, to contemplate these words and then sign your name as appropriate. You are advised to make this covenant not only in your heart, but in word. Not only in word, but in writing. Therefore, with all reverence, lay this worship service before the Lord as your act and deed. And when you have done this, sign your agreement. Then keep it as a reminder of the holy agreement between God and you, that you may remember it during doubts and temptations. You have your charge to go forth this day.